jumped up and led them through the choking Paul and over the rubble. The man-sized hole he'd entered was now wag-size. Only the crisscrossing iron beams had kept the room from caving in. The warlord's torchlight cut through the dust and played over the far wall, where there was a yawning gap in the bricks. Behind the hole, there was concrete block, and it too was blown apart. Thrillbill climbed through the breach and waved the others after him. Ryan stepped over the broken wall and into another empty, windowless room. When they'd all crossed over, the warlord played his light over their faces. Nara looked grim, resigned.
"Come on, Captain. It's time to bury some ghosts."
He led them through the door in the wall opposite. There were no lights in the hallway beyond, which was also concrete floored. They moved in a tight file behind the warlord, staying close to their only source of light. Sheets of cobwebs draped the tunnel. In places, they hung from floor to ceiling. The trailbreaker used his pulse rifle's muzzle to slash a path through them, and his spiked hair and beard were soon decorated with long gray streamers. The door Thrillbill was looking for opened onto a stairwell that smelled of dust and mildew. Ryan followed Nara and Dam up the dismal shaft, which had landings and switchbacks spaced every 15 steps. Ryan had counted 8 flights when something crunched and skittered not far above. They all stopped as the warlord swept his torch over the steps leading to the next landing. The light revealed human bones bleached white. They lay in a jumble from wall to wall. Thrillbill reared back and booted a skull hard, ricocheting it off the wall and sending it clattering down the steps into the dark.
"One of yours, one of mine, Captain."
Nara said nothing. He resumed the climb.
"Don't be shy about taking credit. Plenty more where that came from."
Thrillbill wasn't exaggerating. The stairwell was a tower of the dead. The landing above was piled 2 feet deep in bones. It was only the beginning. The staircase above was choked with them. In short order, the skeletal remains ceased to be surprising or alarming to Ryan and became merely annoying. But they couldn't be completely ignored. A misstep and a slip while carrying a heavy pack could mean a bad, even a fatal fall. They paused on a landing.
"What is this place?"
"Free fire zone in the Rebellion. We're 3 street levels above Gloomtown."
Thrillbill opened the door at the far end of the landing, and they stepped out into an enormous open area plunged in darkness. It felt like the slime galleries below, only without the slime. The warlord's flashlight revealed a street like the one Ryan had seen in Gloomtown, complete with mob. But there was a difference. In this case, the mob was dead. Long dead. Acres of bones appeared in the flashlight's beam. So many that at first Ryan couldn't believe what he was seeing. Thousands upon thousands of skeletons, in every direction the light shone. They covered the sidewalks and the street. They lay inside the ground floor buildings. Up against the facades, they were heaped 10 deep in places. Tremors in the pavement under their boots, earthquakes from the explosions in Gloomtown, caused skulls to slide here and there.
"Been a while, huh, Captain? I know it sure takes me back."
"Shut up!
Haven't you always wondered what it looked like in here? After we walled all these people in? Wouldn't you like to have been a bug on the wall when the last one death rattled and it got really, really quiet?"
Nara said nothing.
"Tell me you don't ever think about this."
"I think about it every day."
"Well, now you can put a face to it."
The light searched the white mounds, picking out a skull here, a skull there.
"How about this one? Or this one? Or this one over here?"
"Your puke, Ransom. Unadulterated puke."
"We both did what we did, and we got paid for it. I guess that makes you pretty much puke, too."
"I'm not proud of it."
"Neither am I, Captain. It might surprise you, but beneath this well-polished exterior is one very miserable dude. These people are beyond help. We should go, and quickly, before the troopers catch up."
"Cotter's right."
"Yeah, I guess so. Nothing's quite so disgusting as a couple of old soldiers weeping over their atrocities. What do you say to a truce, Captain?"
"Why not?"
With Thrillbill in the lead, they worked their way across the Avenue of Death, kicking a path through the bones, and going around when the bodies were piled too high.
"How do they all die?"
"They breathed in carnifages. Most likely they did it on purpose. They had shelters to hide in. They didn't use them. From the bullet holes in some of the skulls, it looks like a few of them got impatient and shot themselves. Maybe they thought it wouldn't hurt as much. None of these people offed themselves before they were two-thirds starved and dying of thirst. 5 cut off the water supply, too. Carnophages cleaned up all the skeletons nice and tidy.
What do they do to deserve it? They didn't surrender fast enough to suit 5 CEOs.
Thrill Bill took them to the middle of the street. He pointed his light at the ground.
There it is.
In an area surprisingly clear of bones was a circular metal plate about 3 feet in diameter. The warlord passed the flashlight to one of his sec-men.
Help me move it, Dan.
The Mercy bent, and the two of them struggled to shift the plate out of the steel flange inset into the surface of the street.
What are you doing?
This is how we get out.
Nora looked dubious. The job done, Thrill Bill took back his flashlight.
We aren't the first visitors to this place, Captain. A while back, our friends from Population Control dropped in to see what kind of a job their one-celled pets were doing. Guess they must have been really pleased. Anyway, the PCS boys came in and went out via the main sewer line.
How appropriate.
Thrill Bill put the flashlight between his teeth, eased through the opening feet first, and started down. The light from the hole got dimmer and dimmer as he descended, and with each succeeding climber, more and more of what little remained was blocked. By the time it came for Ryan to bring up the rear, he could hardly see the opening. After locating the steel rungs inside with the toe of his boot, he backed partway down the pipe. As he was the last one to enter the manhole, it was his job to pull the grate back in place. This he did, though it took some effort, hampered as he was by the pack and 2 shoulder-slung blasters. Below him, something faintly flickered, and he could hear boot soles scraping on rungs. He couldn't see the hand and foothold, so he descended by feel, 1 careful rung at a time. A light played over his back as he climbed down the final 20 feet. The vertical feeder pipe he was in emptied into a much wider horizontal channel, a corrugated steel cylinder about 10 feet in diameter. The others stood clustered to one side, around the only source of light.
We better hurry. The guys who are after us know about this, too.
Then he set off down the sewer pipe. Still at the rear of the file, Ryan sloshed through the stream of evil-smelling liquid that was running down the center of the pipe. The footing was damp, slippery, and in the bad light there was no telling exactly what kind of nastiness a person might be slipping on. They had traveled a short distance when, behind and way above them, Ryan heard the sound of steel scraping concrete. Someone was dragging back the sewer grate. He stopped long enough to dig into his pack for a few slap charges. As he resumed walking, he dropped them at intervals behind him, tossing them into the sluggishly moving water where they couldn't be seen. When he had dispersed them all, he ran to catch up with the others. As he chased after the bobbing light ahead, he wondered if the mines would stick and kick if they were submerged. He'd rejoined the others, and they had put another 50 yards of sewer behind them, when something went whack far to the rear. 1 whack became 7 in a row. Thrill Bill instantly shut off his light.
It was me. I dropped some mines back there. Thought I might slow them up.
You thought right. They're dead slow, about now.
Thrill Bill switched the light back on.
There'll be more of them. You can bet on that.
He picked up the pace. Another 50 yards, the channel rounded a bend, and Bill's flashlight found another row of rungs.
This is it.
The warlord shone his light up the vertical pipe. Ryan looked up and couldn't see the top. The rungs just faded into darkness at the edge of the light, about 200 feet up.
It's a long climb, so let's get cracking.
Thrill Bill started up the pipe first. Dam went next, then Nora. Ryan moved in behind her, and the 2 sec men came last. They climbed much farther than 200 feet. Ryan tried to keep track of the rungs, but he lost count. Above them, there was a familiar roaring noise. It came in waves. The higher they went, the louder it got. Finally, Nara stopped climbing ahead of him, and he had to stop too. His curses muffled by the flashlight in his mouth, Thrill Bill shouldered aside the grate that blocked the top of the pipe. Weak yellow light bathed them, Ryan recognized the sounds, which he'd heard earlier. They came from high-speed traffic. Holding on to his rung, Ryan leaned to one side, trying to see around Nara and Dan.